the works of the devil. It is clear to my mind that sin is the thing referred to by the apostle in the word devil. The sting of the serpent is its power of destruction. The sting of death is the power of death. And that, says the apostle, in one place is sin, and in another is the devil. There are not two powers of death, but only one. Hence the devil and sin, though different words, represent the same thing. Sin had the power of death and would have retained it if the man who was obedient unto death had not gained the victory over it. But thanks be to God, the earth is not to be a charnel house for ever. For he that overcame the world in his own person is destined hereafter to take away the sin of the world and to make all things new. Every curse will then cease, and death will be swallowed up in victory, for death shall be no more. The works of the devil, or evil one, are the works of sin. Individually, they are the works of the flesh, exhibited in the lives of sinners. Collectively, they are on a larger scale as displayed in the polities of the world. All the institutions of the kingdoms of the adversary are the works which have resulted from the thinking of sinful flesh, though happily for the saints of God, the powers that be are controlled by him. They cannot do what they please, though defiant of his truth and his hypocritical and malignant enemies, he serves himself of them and dashes them one against another when the enormity of their crimes reaching to heaven demands his terrible rebuke. Among the works of sin are the numerous diseases which transgression has brought into the world. The Hebrews, the idiom of whose language is derived from the Mosaic narrative of the origin of things, referred disease to sin under the names of the devil and Satan. Hence they inquired, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? A woman bowed together with a spirit of infirmity for 18 years is said to have been bound of Satan, or the adversary, for that time, and her restoration to health is termed loosing her from the bond. Paul also writes in the same idiom to the disciples at Corinth, commanding them to deliver the incestuous brother unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That is, inflict disease upon him, that he may be brought to repentance, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Thus he was judged and chastened of the Lord, that he might not be condemned with the world. This had the desired effect, for he was overwhelmed with sorrow. Wherefore he exhorts the spiritually gifted men of the body to forgive and comfort or restore him to health, lest Satan should get an advantage over them by the offender being reduced to despair. For, says the apostle, we are not ignorant of his devices or those of sin in the flesh, which is very deceitful. Others of the Corinthians were offenders in another way. They were very disorderly in the celebration of the Lord's Supper, eating and drinking condemnation to themselves. For this cause, says he, that is, because they sinned thus, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or are dead. Many other causes might be adduced from Scripture to show the connection between sin and disease, but these are sufficient. If there were no moral evil in the world, there would be no physical evils. Sin and punishment are as cause and effect in the divine economy. God does not willingly afflict, but is long-suffering and kind. If men, however, will work sin, they must lay their account with the wages of sin. That is, disease, famine, pestilence, the sword, misery, and death. But let the righteous rejoice that the enemy will not always triumph in the earth. The Son of God was manifested to destroy him and all his works, which by the power and blessing of the Father he will assuredly do.